We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Last month, when MLB announced the penalties to the Houston Astros, I issued an apology to our fans and the city of Houston. I want to say again how sorry our team is for what happened. I want to also repeat that this will never happen again on my watch. You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it. No, I don't think I should be held accountable. I'm here to correct it, and I'm here to take this team forward with Dusty and James. And as I said, it won't happen again on my watch.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
It could possibly make a difference. You're the only one saying that. That is Jim Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros, who came across a little bit rough yesterday, to be nice about this. He gets the Ass Clown Award here on a Friday by far, as he will continue to get blasted, I'm sure, around the country for his comments. I'm not really sure. We had a really good team, but we just feel we were the better team. Yeah. We had the trash can banging going on, but we don't think that made a big difference. Meanwhile, everybody in baseball said, man, I'd love to know if it's a fastball or a curve coming in. And anyway, that was yesterday. Crazy, crazy day. Everybody was waiting to see what it was going to be like. And yes, it was a train wreck. It was about as poorly run as and executed as a team could possibly do, which tells me there was nobody professionally put behind this.
At all.
You know what's these crisis management groups, they work with these companies all the time.
Yeah.
The oil companies, when they have, you know, problems in the spillage in the ocean and everything else, or people dealing, you know, with sexual harassment or whatever, and it's spread throughout, and how to put the fire out where it doesn't affect, you know, and man, they should have called one of those guys. There's some really good ones out there. Should have made a call to somebody and figured out a better way to handle it, because that looked like a bunch of fifth graders put that together yesterday and did a little bit of everything, just the way it was handled, with 20-second handwritten notes there that were given to the players, it sounded like. Then the best part was when they just stood and they came from the heart in the clubhouse, where they got a lot better stuff and it went a lot better than all those guys. And Dusty Baker's up there. What the hell is he going to say?
Yeah.
Dusty had nothing to do with this.
I'm going to try to right the ship, you know. We're going to run a clean program now. But listen, you know, with these billionaires, there's a thing called egos.
Oh, his.
And a lot of them have them. So we don't know, even if the crisis team, if they did hire one, he said, nah, we're going to do it my way.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's all right. It sounds all right, but this way's better.
Man, yeah. I don't think he scored big with a lot of the owners in his own sport.
Oh, no.
And that big fraternity couldn't have been happy with the stuff that everybody was watching. Everybody in baseball wanted to know. Because, you know, right after all that stuff took place, then they went to the Yankees and the Red Sox and the A's and everybody else. I saw all the managers for all the teams, and everybody's kind of be half nice about this. A.J. Hinch kind of took the fall yesterday. Well, we believe we got rid of the problem. Problem? Problem's still on your team, the players. They're the ones that did it.
Exactly.
I mean, A.J. Hinch, we can blame A.J. Hinch for a bad dinner here pretty soon, man, that the wife cooked. Come on. I mean, enough. And by the way, happy Valentine's Day, before we get carried away, to everybody out there. for all those special women, and I know a lot of you guys right now in the cars have not done anything yet. It's going to be a second half of the day deal, right?
Yes.
Valentine's Day, you can pick up something fast. Chocolates, if that's the thing. Flowers, always a big hit.
You have to get flowers.
Yeah.
You have to.
For me, yes. That's a good call.
For every
man
out there.
When you said that, I swear to God, I felt like you just talked to my wife.
Every man needs to get flowers because every woman is expecting some type of flowers.
I don't know about everyone because you always have somebody say, my wife doesn't want flowers. Uh-huh. They're dead in 3 days. But my wife likes those 3 days.
Okay, so even if you don't get a bouquet of flowers, you need to get a bouquet of edible arrangements. She's expecting some type of arrangement today.
I said last night, I said, listen, is the dinner tonight going to be enough?
I guarantee you got a hard no.
It was just that look like no.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
We've been doing this too long. Like, no.
This is the day for them to flaunt and show off. This is what my man did for me. But look at my flowers. Look at the picture. They're gonna go on Monday. Every girl is gonna ask them, what did you get? Oh, you guys went to dinner there? Oh, that's so beautiful. Let me see the flowers. And everyone's gonna want to take that picture and slide to the right. You see a little teddy bear? Because that teddy bear is a teddy bear I told them I liked when we got together 10 years ago. That's the stories they want to hear. Hey,
my wife better not ask me about 10 years ago, Brian, because there's a good chance I don't remember what the hell was said 10 years ago. So that, I don't know if that's going to fly around me. But we got something else I thought was pretty interesting. This quarterback chaos that's going on right now, the rotating quarterback stories that are daily. Yesterday was Jameis Winston's turn.
Oh, boy. Can he see it, though? I know he got LASIK. Can he finally see the quarterback changing?
Well, they said he's going to go from 30-30 to 20-20.
Oh, okay. Thank God for that.
And everybody's, oh, that's real funny. Yeah, that you know, that's wrong right there. That's wrong. So Jameis did get that surgery. I don't know if that's going to be enough to save him or not because Tampa Bay's got to make a real tough decision on this. I didn't realize his numbers outside of 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. I did not know. 5 lost fumbles. But the one that gets me, have you ever heard of this? 7 pick sixes.
He threw seven of those
interceptions were returned for touchdowns.
Did he not end the season in overtime with a pick
six? That was it. That end of the year. That was number 7.
My God. And that's what set the record, too.
Tampa Bay, turned the ball over 41 times.
Damn.
He was responsible for 35 of the 41. Receivers and running backs fumbling he has nothing to do with. But it's 41 turnovers. I don't know a lot, but I know if you turn the ball over damn near 3 times a game.
You're not
That's
much.
What that comes out to.
Yeah.
16 times 3 is 48. Like, they came up just short of turning the ball over 3 times a game. And I don't know how you get past that. You can talk about his 5. He led the league in yards, and he was up there in touchdown passes too. But you can talk about the yards, over 5,000 yards at 33 touchdowns. He's only 26. He's made some great throws. Do you come back with him?
So if I'm the GM, I'm going to put an offer on the table. It might not be anywhere close to what his agent wants or what he thinks he deserves, but I'm going to put an offer out there because we know in NFL, there's one position, there's a huge drop-off in talent when it comes to starters to backups. That's the quarterback position. So if you have a starter caliber type player, you still put an offer out there. Now, it might be very incentive lace based. There might not be a lot of guarantees in there, but I'm going to give you an offer. Then I'm going to say, okay, if you want to test open market, you're going to get backup quarterback money.
You don't think somebody's thinking they're looking at this group? We don't have enough quarterbacks right now to go around for everybody, right? You've seen the whole deal that's out there. There's going to be. And he's the youngest of the group.
Him and Marcus Mariota.
Mariota's also in that group. I'm just curious. Do people give him another shot?
If we have tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3 quarterbacks going into this free agency, they're on tier 3. Him and Marcus Mariota. They are going to get backup caliber money.
You got Teddy ahead of...
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. No, I agree.
To me, tier 2 is like Teddy, Ryan Tannehill. That's tier 2. Tier 1, obviously Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers.
And you know those guys are a 1 or 2 year hit
That's
wonder.
It. That's 1 or 2 year.
So they're going to be a strong Band-Aid, not a little Band-Aid. That's a good one. That'll keep the bleeding away. They're that good of players. But you know, Father Time's going to win here pretty soon. Going to kick their
undefeated.
Ass.
Father Time is undefeated.
So, I mean, I start looking. Jameis Winston is 26 years old. I know how bad he's been. You're talking about a guy 16 years younger than Tom Brady.
But who would you rather have the next 2 years?
Nope, not even close. Tom Brady.
Not even close.
I agree.
You know, even Drew, who would you rather have for a year? Drew, who would you rather have for Philip Rivers? I mean,
I know all of them win. So I'm really, they got a tough one up there. The radio shows up there have been heavily about Jameis Winston. And it's hard to get past those numbers. I mean, those numbers are screaming, we got to go we got to go a different direction.
I might even give him a Jacoby Brissett type of deal. 2 years, $30 million. It's really 1 year, yeah. 15. You prove it. I bring in somebody else. You guys battle it out in camp, whether that's we draft a young guy or we say, hey, listen, this is going to be your second year in our system. Let's see if you can take that next step. And then if you can, we'll scrap the last part of that deal and give you a new one.
So let me go through. Bruce Arians got a pretty good reputation with quarterbacks. Takes over for Tampa Bay and he gets this. And he's supposed, that's Bruce, that's supposed to be your specialty. You were supposed to get more and you couldn't get it. Every time he's under pressure, he throws it up.
And it's not even like he doesn't have weapons out there. He had two receivers that were in the top five in yardage.
He had big horses. He had big, big horses. Run, size, he had a little bit of everything on that group. That's going to be a tough one. And Tampa Bay's not the only one in that. Let me talk about another local guy. You just mentioned him, Jacoby Brissett. Didn't do enough to be the Colts' number one guy. He didn't.
No.
They're going to open that back up.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing against Jacoby. He's done a great job. Listen, coming from where he was with New England, getting a chance, he was supposed to be the backup. Let's face it. Guy in front of him quits. I mean, he got a great opportunity. They were and he loved to have him on the team.
That's what I think they'll
love
do.
To have him.
Yeah, you bring in one of those older guys. It's a Band-Aid fix, but it's a strong one. We have a very competitive team around us. Great offensive lineman, T.Y. Hilton. If we draft another receiver, dominant. If we bring back Eric Ebron at the tight end position, our defense, really good. All-pro middle linebacker and Darius Leonard. I need a guy right now that can deliver the ball into crucial points. Listen, Jacoby, you just didn't do it, but we want to bring you back as a backup. Here's your offer as a backup quarterback. We're going to bring in Philip Rivers. We're going to bring in Tom Brady. He's going to be the guy next year, but we'd love to have you back on the team as the backup, or you can go test the waters if you want.
Yeah.
That's how it should go.
Well, I'll tell you, this whole thing, I just look at everybody's reading last night about the Carolina situation, Cam Newton. They want to know if you're healthy or not. We got to move on if you're not. He's got 1 year left. Nick Foles, thought that Nick Foles could go somewhere. What if Tom Brady gets the itch and goes to Vegas? Derek Carr's out.
Mm.
I mean, we got so many crazy situations with all these guys. Marcus Mariota's another guy a lot of people think is going to be a starter. And then I think the biggest winner of all these guys is going to be Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's not going anywhere. He's going to stay right where he is and get as much as he can for as long as he can because he loves playing in this offense. He just had more success than he's ever had in his career in that offense. Got same agent as the guy that's running the ball behind him that nobody wants to tackle.
Right or wrong, do you tag him?
If I can't sign him, I tag him.
So I tag him to
26 something million.
26 and change, let's just say $27 million. 1 year deal.
I think they'd like to get something worked out longer.
Yes.
For but a little less.
If you tag him, at least you can go ahead and keep the conversations going. I give the big boy in the back a contract. We get that over with.
Oh, the big guy's got to have it.
You got to have it.
I call it the guy nobody wants to tackle.
At all. Why would you? He's a monster.
Especially in the fourth. Nobody wants
him. He's not human.
I watched the Patriot guys try to let him go by and then jump on his back.
Yeah.
It looked like the big bully when you're playing sandlot football and everybody waiting to get past him, and then all the fast guys jump on his back from behind and try to take him down.
Listen, one of the hardest hitting safeties in the game, he made him into a lead blocker in Earl Thomas. That doesn't happen. The dude's a monster. I don't know if you ever seen him in person. You seen him in person?
Yes.
He is a monster.
One of the greatest bodies I've ever seen in football.
Yeah.
Top five body I've ever seen cut like Hercules.
Of all time. And he is tall. Like, it was, oh, it's not going to work
in the
NFL.
Tall guy, and he's all business. Ain't doing a lot of talking out there,
but
just looking to run.
Nobody wants to hit him, and we call it a business decision. It's a business decision. What are you going to do right now? You going to go all in, give it your all, and just hit him?
What did those Ravens look like?
Ooh, that was not the business decision. They said, you know
what? What happened to that physical defense?
Nothing.
How did they look when they got past the line of scrimmage trying to tackle him?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was crazy. We got to go to break, man. Running late here this morning, but it's a Friday, man. You can't mess up a Friday out there. Don't let anybody mess up your Friday. Matter of fact, the weather gods have spoken. It looks really, really good here. Don't want to mess it up for Mama or that special little girlfriend. She's special. You better be taking care of our girl, Jen. I'm telling you right now, that guy better be taking care of Jen today. She got up early to come in. Want to make sure she's taken care of, ready to go. It's just kind of like Trans World Business Advisors. And my man, Andy Cagnetta. Andy, can't wait for Andy's pasta dinner this Sunday. Going to raise a lot of money for a great, great cause like you always do. But I want to tell you about what Andy does the rest of the time. Yeah, it's called Trans World Business Advisors. Trans World is all about helping you sell your company, finding a buyer for your company. Nobody does it like they do because nothing's too big, nothing's too small. The way you're treated and how quickly they can do it, you're going to be really impressed. So you're wondering, is it a good time? It's a great time to sell your business, right? If you've been thinking about it, you probably should get rolling on it right now. If your employees are driving you nuts, time to retire, relax, put a lot of money in the bank, or you want to do something different here before you get too old, call Trans World. Sit down with Andy and his staff. They got 600 brokers, 200 offices around the world. They can create competition for your business to drive up that price. I knew you'd like that. Trans World Business Advisors, been in business for more than 40 years. You talk about experience, they got it. If you own a business, I don't care if it's $50,000 to $50 million, you need to call Trans World. They're the largest business brokerage in the world. Here's how it works. I want you to call them. Get it started at 954-305-504-8100. That's 504-8100. Or visit tworld.com. That's tworld.com for Trans World Business Advisors. And don't forget about Andy's pasta dinner. Look it up. More information for a great cause. All right, happy Valentine's Friday to everybody out there that's either really into it or you got somebody you're getting ready to go. I'm just trying to remind you of it. Guys are going, why are you wishing me a happy Valentine's Day? I'm saying, well,
you might need
just kind of a reminder here, man. So you know, every so often somebody, 56022, will say, my wife doesn't need anything. Every day's Valentine's Day. She's already told me don't worry about getting her anything. I said, well, you're lucky. Valentine's should do a little something, man.
But don't you think that same woman that says that is still hoping that you get her something small?
Yes. Something. Not about breaking the bank. Nope. Everybody's got a budget. I agree.
I feel like that's a trap statement, honestly. When like a woman says that, I don't want anything. You have to get her something or else then you look like a jerk.
Oh, no. I learned with this one. Marga has said, don't worry about getting anything. And then I've gotten up on Christmas with like 22 gifts, and she's got like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, man, this just happened. I go, you just ruined Christmas.
Trapped.
You ruined it. She goes, no, it's fine. No, it's fine. No, it's not. It's a bad look for me, man.
Yep.
Not good.
Don't come empty-handed today. I don't care what your lady says.
No matter what they say, I'm with you. I'm not buying it at all. Hey, by the way, I haven't asked you about your Canes because I know every time you do a show, everybody wants to know about the Miami Hurricanes, and I didn't want to be that guy going into spring football. A lot of things to change. For those of you that wanted a former player in, he's in. His name's Ed Reed. And by the way, there's no conspiracy theories. Manny wanted Ed Reed to be with him. I really believe that. You wanted the offense change. It's changed. I get it. Nobody should get shut out from a team outside the Power Five. Hell, well, your Miami should never get shut out, period.
Yep.
Or lose to FIU. So you got a new offense. All the coaches we were frustrated with that positions weren't producing. Offensive line, wide receiver, core. Okay, all those guys are gone. He went to the transfer portal with what he couldn't get. He got two of the top transfer portal players. Some have said they're 1-2 and a quarterback and a and a pass rusher. And they went out somehow, ended up with a top 15 recruiting class ahead of a lot of big schools, even after having a losing record.
Yeah.
So saying all that, going to spring football, knowing what's gone, what do you expect this thing's going to look like this year?
So, you know, my expectations at the beginning, I'm going to keep them low, okay, because we saw him.
Schedule's not very hard.
Schedule wasn't hard this year either.
True.
If you looked at that schedule.
No, I agree.
And I said.
You're right.
I said 8-4 going into the year, maybe 9-3, only because the schedule's weak. I can make an argument that this year's schedule coming up is weaker than last year's schedule. There's no Florida. That's now Michigan State. Michigan right. State's going through a coaching change.
Right.
They weren't that great this year.
Right.
So agreed. The toughest out of conference went from Florida to Michigan State. You look at in the conference, I do believe North Carolina is going to take that next big step because
well, they just beat you with the last step.
And Sam Howell is a baller. He can chuck it around. They've done a great job recruiting. Mack Brown has killed it on that one. Georgia Tech. They beat you. They got more players in. They're going to understand their system.
Can't lose to them.
Wake Forest is our crossover game. The only thing that helps you out is Jamie Newman transferred, the quarterback. But they're still going to bring back Sage Surratt, who's one of the better receivers in the ACC. So, and they bring back Boogie Cousins, who's their linebacker, who's going to be second-round pick next year. That worries you a little bit, but when you still come out, it's soft. It is a soft schedule.
I didn't hear you mention Clemson.
We don't see them.
Exactly.
We don't see them.
And I just, if they play the way they can, which we see, which is that Louisville, Florida State, I mean, they look like they turned a corner. So, you know, they've got players to do it. I don't believe that all these four-star players are bust. I just don't think, in the case of some of these receivers, people go, where are we getting these receivers? I go, they're getting the same receivers getting recruited by everybody. Like, those guys didn't – well, you think Miami recruited them in Appalachian State? Like, these guys are good.
Yeah.
They were good. We got to figure an easy, simple way. I don't want to hear about their slow learners. They can't pick things up. They're dumb. I don't want to hear that. Make it simple.
No. Yeah.
And that's one of the things they've talked about in this new offense. Simple. Run and get open. Spread it out and sprint back because we're gonna run another play in about 10 seconds.
That's what I can't wait to see because I can't wait to go out to practice and see all these kids throwing up an offense because we need that. We need some energy in this offense because you talk about the best playmakers in the country are in our backyard. That's Miami. Best football players in the country. Athletes all over the field.
We got to get that. That needs to improve.
It does, but if you look at the receivers they have on this team, 5-star. Mark Pope, okay? 5-star, Jeremy Payton. We brought in 2 4-stars this year as well.
No, I agree.
It's that we are not getting the most out of our players like some of these other schools are.
Totally agree.
And you simplify it for them now and say, listen, this is the easiest concept. All I need you to do is make something happen after the catch.
I don't want you thinking about how to run your route. We need you to get back the way you played high school football.
That's exact. Get back to high school and have fun with it.
I totally agree that something happens. There's been something. So I would get back this. I just had this conversation a few days ago because of UM. If you're with a UM guy, they always want to bring up their school so they can get into a debate when they don't agree with what you say. Was last year more about coaching overall, which falls under schemes, the way you do things, or was it more about you just didn't have the talent? Because now people are going, well, maybe the talent's not there. Like, I don't know. Then if the talent's not there, these are the same kid. You break down the schools that every one of these guys got recruited to, and there's some big schools.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say it's not the talent. I would say it's the execution. Because you can blame Coach Enos in the red zone. You can blame third down conversion on Enos if you want.
Third downs. Oh,
we got no push up front from our offensive line. Absolutely nothing. We couldn't get a 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 to save our life. Is that on the coaching? No, that's not you being able to push the guy in front of you. Also, you got true freshman on the left tackle, a first starter on the right tackle, and I believe a first-year starter at center. That should never really happen in big-time college football.
I agree.
You should be redshirting, getting stronger, getting bigger, learning the playbook. That's on our recruiting, whether that's a previous coaching staff, the previous offensive line coach, whatever you want to say. But then I can nitpick every single play that you want. For Virginia Tech, 3rd-and-4, They throw a bubble screen out to Mark Pope. We miss the block. They go ahead,
right,
get off the field. Now, is that on the coaching or is that on the execution? That's on execution. Now, one-on-one, right tackle, left tackle, getting beat all day long. We run a double move. You hold on to the ball too long, we get sacked.
Right.
Is that on coaching or is that on not executing? I believe it's a mixture of everything, but I'm going to blame more of the coaches because I'm a former player, because you have to look yourself in the eye and say, who wants it more?
If guys don't get better and you're coaching them, it makes you as a coach look really bad.
Terrible.
If your guys don't get better, I look at the Dolphins example, this team. That receiving core got coached up.
It did.
That tight end position, somebody coached that guy up. Somebody's responsible for Gesicki getting a lot better and Devontae Parker, what he did. He's top 10 receiver there at the end of the year. He's top 10 receiver. He took the defensive player of the year in the last game and chewed him up like he is. Nobody has ever done that to Stephon Gilmore. What happened?
Yeah.
What he did. I think giving a guy confidence falls under coaches. You agree with that?
Yeah.
That's part of it too. When I go out there and I believe in it, I know the guy behind me believes in me. That's and he's going to run plays that I do best. And not going, oh, man, I know he loves this play, but I'm not very good at it. Get rid of him.
And that's what the OC, the new OC coach, Rhett Lashley has to understand. What do each of my players do best?
I think he's got to be looking. Listen, man, it's hard for me to imagine where he just came from. And he's looking at these guys. He's got to be going, listen, man, I'm listening to all these people. I got a hell of a lot more talent here. I can hear him. I can hear Lashley talking to Manny Diaz when they have their meetings and going, Coach, you want to see my SMU guys and then look at this group? That tight end group? I'm going to change some things.
Well, listen,
that tight end group has got a
– Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory?
They got to play.
Now we can't neglect Brevin Jordan and keep him in line. I get it. He's a complete tight end and he's a great blocker. But he's a weapon on the outside or weapon in the slot or down the seam. And we kept him in. It's like, I don't care. We got to figure out somebody that can block.
Yeah.
You need to use them as a weapon.
Right.
But I'll say this. Coach Lashley is drooling over one position and one position all because he knows I got a guy that is a signal caller, and that's De'Aaron King.
Can run his offense. He's seen it up close. Can run that system. I'm with her. And by the way, everybody thinks that's an open competition. You don't get invited to that press conference after your second signing day.
He's the starter.
And you're standing up there.
He's the starter.
A starter, so – the rest of those guys, good luck as backups.
Facts. He's the starter. I don't care what you say, Nikosi Perry, Tate Martell, the new guy, Van Dyke, Machoa. He is the starter. He came here for a year. He's ran this offense at a high level. He's the most dynamic quarterback we have ever had at University of Miami. Yes, we never really ran a spread, so we have more of a dynamic type player now, but he's the most dynamic player they ever had at that position. He can run it. He can throw.
Yeah, you're talking about run and throw.
Of course.
Just purely throwing.
And purely throwing. We go back to Ken Dorsey and back to the 80s with Vinny and everybody else that you can't touch. You cannot touch them.
Vinny.
But if you want to talk about dynamic as the total package, but we didn't ask them to do that. That was a completely different offense. Now it's spread them out.
Well, this guy doesn't have somebody open and everything's spread out.
He's going to shake and bake. I mean, I remember watching a game one time. It was 4th and 7. 4th and 7, they ran a quarterback keep. He had the linebacker had him dead in the rights in the hole. He did a spin move and took it 25 yards for a touchdown. I said, man, why can't we get a guy like that?
No, his highlights, and I was shocked that he ended up coming here. I really was. I was shocked. I thought they had no chance when it looked like he was going to take off. So anyway, I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. We got months before it counts and stuff, and I know it's about winning games. I understand that, everybody out there, so don't get mad, but it's a good start. It's a good start to go, well, we got a chance because they made all the changes. Manny went out. Everything we bitched about has been changed. Everything that's bitched about, the offense, the quarterback, the system, it's all been changed up. Anyway, we'll talk more about all that stuff coming up here. Right now, I want to talk about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't have to worry, and I want to let you know that if you have a question, let me see, today's Friday, Saturday or Sunday, you have a question, you're out looking for a new home or a condo, you found something, you want to find out if you can get approved, you can get a hold of Michael Kotze all the time at Choice Mortgage. That's the thing. I'm going to give you a cell phone number after I tell you how good he is at everything. And by the way, the service is incredible with him. I always tell everybody, you have a question about a certain mortgage, how quickly can I get approved? Hey, can you help me out a little bit? I've had some weak tax returns. I've been renting my whole life because I had a short sale in the past 5 years. All those things. You need somebody to take a second chance and help you find a creative way to get you approved. Michael Cotti at Choice Mortgage really goes the extra mile to help everybody get approved, even on a weekend. And that's what I want to set you up for. If you have any question about something going on in your own life, about what the rates are, fixed rate mortgages right now in the mid threes there, you want to find out how quickly it'll take to get approved, whether you're self-employed or you have sophisticated tax returns. It's not an issue, man, when you deal with Michael Cotti. He's not 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Nope. He works 7 days a week at night, in the morning, helping people out that are stressed out about something. He's been in business since 1994, got AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 166254. Here's his number. I want you to call or text him. Either way, he's going to get back to you if he doesn't answer right away. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730 for Michael Cotti at Choice Mortgage. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. And hope you're having a good Friday. Kicked off here, got beautiful weather. Looking out the window here, Brian Monroe, I think we're in good shape, man, today. Going to be a nice weekend and getting over the football. By the way, you watching the XFL at all?
You know, I checked it out. I was pleasantly surprised at some of it.
It's good, clean football.
It is. It's 10 times better than AAF.
Who are these guys? It is, by the way. That's a great, you know what? And we never talked about that. It is so much better.
10 times better.
Than the AAF.
Yeah, I like some of the rule changes they have. I think it gets the fans more interactive and, you know, because there's that fan that loves to go to the office the next day and be like, yeah, man, you know, they were running waggle to the right and they were running belly and everything. And they're like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, I know what I'm talking about. So I like that aspect of them letting fans in on the play
calling. You know that would never fly in the NFL.
Ever.
Because, with coordinators and head coaches getting asked questions after you decide not to go for it on fourth down.
But then you also have to change up your play calling because now the other team can just look at the
right
copy of the TV.
Jim Zorn said he didn't know he's on TV.
Yeah.
I go, how would you not know? Like, there's mics everywhere in your sport. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Everybody's mic'd up. Sideline,
and
field.
Didn't they tell you beforehand?
I heard him say that. So the only problem with the league is these players have all been cut or their careers are over in the NFL on practice squad or their chance 53-man squad. They're all doing something different. But I would agree, man. It's about as good a coaching job across the board watching those games. The problem is, how do you go from watching Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl and a week later watching that?
Landry Jones.
Cardell, you can name them all. I got nothing against any of them.
No, but it's like, do I want to get up and go watch Cardell Jones play Landry Jones in a Saturday game? It's difficult to do.
You realize, because some people thought, well, maybe some of the practice squad guys will go pick up $55,000 and go play with them. They're not leaving that. They're making a lot better money on the practice squad than they are doing that. And if you get back on a practice squad, if you're still practice squad eligible, with the injuries that happen, more than half the guys, if not most of them, by the end of the year, are on the active roster. And your pay goes up.
Yeah, and 55 is the average. They say there's guys making in the
less
high 20s, low 30s.
And there's a few guys making more, quarterback position.
Quarterbacks, guys, yeah, the sexy guys position.
Are making more. But I have nothing wrong with it. I'm not a hater. We got a few players from here in South Florida that have been lucky enough to, I call it, keep your football career going.
Yep.
I don't know how many of these guys the NFL is going to pick up. I guess if a guy stands out, they know everybody.
A couple.
Listen, the Dolphins picked up a ton of those players from the other league, and none of them made it.
None of them. Neither did the CFL guys.
They filled out the 90-man roster. I mean, we had a bunch. I'm guessing we had more than anybody.
Yeah.
The Dolphins. And they didn't make it. The only problem is, no matter what the sport, you got
to
have some star power, don't you?
You got
to have some names.
And then here's my thing, right? This is the question I had. So let's just say you get the star quarterbacks, right? All of a sudden, some guy blossoms and everybody wants to tune in for him. Now, at the end of the year, you really going to let him walk to the NFL? Like, this is the guy that's leading your whole entire
company?
There's
nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Because you can't afford him.
So it's like, how do you sustain this through the long haul if the guys that actually entertain the crowd just go to the NFL after the season's done?
That's why they're trying to find their niche with people that they think want football year-round. The ratings were okay last week. They averaged a little over 3 million on TV. I want to see what happens in week two.
This is the big weekend.
I want to see what happens this weekend.
Yes.
I want to see how everybody feels about this. I don't think the league's going to make it personally in the long run because none of them have. And the last time XFL was in bed with NBC with the most brilliant sportsman of all time, the guy that runs sports for NBC is one of the most brilliant guys. And matter of fact, his son was running this AAF league that didn't make it with his dad's help. So his dad's 0 for 2, either direct affiliation or indirectly helping his kid. They got a lot of money behind him with a big ego. Vince McMahon.
That's the only reason I think it'll last for a couple of years.
But they got no TV contract. No. Now, TV's paying for all the stuff, and it's not costing them anything, but they're not making anything.
Yep.
And you get 16,000, 17,000 showing up to these games. You're not paying a lot of money. It's an expensive game, man.
It is.
There's a reason that not every college has football, or a lot of high schools now don't have football. Private schools, because it's expensive. It's an expensive game. Except down here in South Florida, we got football everywhere, man. We don't mess around. Anyway, yeah, I see what happens this week. I just not interested. It's fine, and it's nice to have on there, but I found myself, and I don't know if you're the same way, but if you're sitting, you're probably out doing stuff, enjoying life a little bit more than I am, but I'll sit there. All right, I'm going to watch Phil Mickelson. He had a chance to win Pebble Beach. I flipped that. And I want to see how he plays. He's getting up and down on Saturday, making ridiculous saves and making birdies. And I want to see if the old guy can win another tournament. I found myself doing that.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big Phil fan, so I'm not going to really tune into Phil. I'd rather see Tiger whip up on Phil.
Oh, no, I'm Tiger, but I no longer have the Tiger versus Phil thing.
Yeah, but I see
that. Are you still?
I don't have to fight Tiger versus Phil, but that's the reason why I dislike Phil now. Because when Tiger was going through his things, that's when he started talking trash. But when Tiger was whooping up on you all those times, you were quiet.
Well, my thought is Tiger and Phil have nothing in common in their careers.
At all. At all. They're the complete opposite.
Like, Tiger, if he never plays again, I used to say this when everybody's like, oh, man, what a bust. Or I go, bust? Tiger?
A bust.
Said, he's the second greatest golfer of all time.
Yeah.
The other guy lives up where you're from, Jack Nicklaus.
Mm-hmm. Son played, played up the road.
That's right, at Dwyer. So I just always tell everybody, like, look, man, you say whatever you want, but the numbers, that's a number sport, majors, PGA wins, appeal, popularity. Tiger's by himself. Tiger to this day, in his mid-40s. What happened to all those young guys supposed to be so good?
Yeah. Oh, no, don't worry about it. We got this guy and we got that guy. And then what happens when Tiger comes back? The crowds are out of control.
Did you see what happened to Spieth, who everybody said, man, he had that one great year? He lost his game.
We don't even talk about it anymore. Rory got the big contract
Rory's
from Nike.
Up and down.
He comes here sometimes and he makes the cut a whole bunch of them.
You know what I think? I think they get zoned in for a while. Then they make a lot of money and they're like, I'm going to enjoy life a little bit. I'm not going to do this. Where Tiger just said, I'm going 10 years and kick everybody's ass, maybe more than 10 years after having close to 100 wins and the majors and everything else. We got 9 o'clock hour coming up here, man. Got to keep an eye on that clock, man. Never want to mess it up on a Friday. We got more stuff to get to. Hey, Biffer, we're going to check in on the text machine, 56022. Make sure they're clean, though, if you're reading them there, dog. Don't get us in trouble today. We're all doing really well. I'm on good terms with everybody out in the other room, so let's make sure we get the clean ones. You know the words you can't say.
Should I say them on the air?
No, you can if you want this to be your last day. You just let me know how serious you are about that. You let me know how much you want to stay here. You got Jen. You got beautiful Jen next to you, man, helping you out in there so you don't mess up. Hey, guess what's right around the corner? NASCAR returns to Homestead Miami Speedway with the Dixie Vodka 400. I might drink some Dixie Vodka myself this weekend. Listen, join us. Take a silver lap around the track to celebrate our 25th anniversary. I can't believe it. Congratulations, Homestead Miami Speedway. 25 years. Well, guess what? We got a new date, and it's going to be great. Now in March, from now until March 20th through the 22nd, get those tickets. Grab them. Come on. Get ready to go. NASCAR's best are coming down with all the best drivers in the business. Harvick and Johnson and Busch and Busch, Logano, all of them, whatever your favorite is. Just go call 866-409-RACE. That's 866-409-RACE. Or visit homesteadmiamispeedway.com. Again, March 20th through the 22nd, the best in NASCAR will be in town at the Homestead Miami Speedway.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.